Right, I'm just going to double, triple check. I'm sure I am. I'm just going to double check. Right, okie dokie. That's okay, so we're good to go. Right, I've got my little funny little microphone thing. Oops. And up, will you please? I think that don't make any difference or not. I've no idea. Right, let's so we're recording. Okay, so welcome back to embracing your mortality. Your mortality. Welcome back to Embracing Your Mortality podcast with me, author Sue Brain. On the first day of the month, I post an interview with someone who is passionate about helping us to live more consciously for a better world. And my goodness me, we need all the inspiration and hope we can get these days. And this is why I'm so thrilled that my guest today is Madison, or more well known as Maddie King. And she's an internationally recognized master practitioner, teacher, writer and educator in the field of natural healthcare. Maddie started her working life in the advertising world, but began to realize that she was yearning for something more to life. And life changed when she started training with Donna Eden and the Eden Method of Healing. She was gripped to the extent she became founding faculty member of Eden Energy Medicine USA, or how it's also called EEM, where she now oversees and teaches the Advanced Year 4 training, sits on the EEM Council responsible for maintaining the integrity and evolution of the work, and has recently retired as training director of Eden Energy Method Europe. Welcome, Maddie. Wow, that's quite a change from being an Welcome, Maddie. Wow, that's quite a change from being an advertising executive to becoming a master practitioner in natural healthcare. So, how did all of this come about for you?
A very good question. A very good question indeed. And first of all, so it's lovely to be here, really, to share my experience. I don't know if I'd call myself the master practitioner, because in the area of energy, I consider myself a perpetual student, and that's the wonderful thing. And that's really what got me from advertising into working with energy. It wasn't a direct route, it was very convoluted, but I had achieved a lot of success in the advertising world and had really enjoyed it. I was very ambitious. I ended up on a board as a director. I had a beautiful BMW. I dressed in Armani. I had a Gucci handbag. Ooh, all these things, But I realized they didn't really bring me happiness. And it was spontaneous. And this is when I think we have to listen to that little voice within and let go of the fear. And I can remember I'm an islander, and I had come home at Christmas to see my parents, and I was
This is on
walking
the
along
Isle of Wight.
the Isle of Wight, the Isle of Wight, yes. And I was walking along the beach, and it just suddenly came to me. I thought, I've gone as far as I can go in advertising. I do not have what it takes to be managing director. I don't want to be. I'd never be chairman. I've done it. I love it. But I can't see the rest of my life worrying about the bottle top of some product I'm advertising. What color is it? Well, and I didn't know what to do. It was in the days before internet, where you could ask Mr. Google, or even nowadays go to AI, Sue,
Yeah.
And I just went back, and I think the secret is sometimes to leap off that cliff and just trust you're going to sprout your wings on the way down. So I just went back and resigned. Everyone said I was crazy. Everyone said I was mad. And I went off and I studied massage with an amazing woman called Claire Maxwell Hudson. And that was my stepping point, because sometimes you don't know where you're going exactly, but
Yeah, that's so true.
you don't want to go back there. So you take the first step. And once you do that, the next step. And then I became a sort of course groupie. I trained in nutrition, in reflexology, in aromatherapy, in Tragar, in every kind of massage you can imagine. And one day I stumbled across Donna Eden. And that was another story. That was, oh, yes, this is where I'm
Yes,
going.
it was just that was the big yes.
Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it? Your story, I think a lot of people will really resonate with this kind of feeling like the life I'm living at the moment isn't the right one. It isn't, there's something not right, but what do I
Yes.
do? And the fear of leaving it behind to follow this. The inner call, isn't it? It's an inner call going, it or it's a discomfort. How were you feeling with this?
Well, I always think the line between excitement and fear is very thin, okay? And I just felt incredibly excited, and there was some sort of knowing inside that it would all work out. You know, and that's where a little bit of belief comes in. A lot of people I did find, because I was in advertising and I knew a lot of people in quite powerful positions, and I thought, I'm going to be dead meat when I leave here. You know, no one's going to. The number of calls to I had from some of these people in very powerful positions saying, how did you do this? What are you going to do? You know, because we get trapped in lives which we construct for ourselves. And it takes that bit of courage, but it takes belief. And when you have belief, and you may not know where it comes from, you don't need courage. You know, people say, oh, you're so courageous. And I thought, I'm a bit of a fraud, really, because no, I don't feel courageous. I just think I've got to do this. And if it falls through, I'll go and stack shelves in a supermarket or something. I'll always put food on the table. And that's another thing which I would share with everyone is I then discovered, I know it's poo-hooed, but I discovered the power of self-talk, positive self-talk, you know. And sometimes I did have some challenges when I first started. I had a tax investigation. How you can get a tax investigation on PAYE, I don't know, but for a year, the little bit of money I'd saved was frozen. And I just had to go out and jobs came, you know. I study in the day and go and work at night. And I just started talking to myself. And that's progress since I met Donna, and I know that energy. I can do certain things as I'm talking, tap certain acupressure points, or just deep breathe or relax. And I just said, you're safe. It's going to be okay. And something always came into, always. It might be the 11th hour, the practical things would come in. And I think that. Because I'm an energy worker, I now understand, which I think if we all listen, it will come instinctively, that if you set your energy in the right way, a positive way, you act as a bit of a beacon, if you want, for positive situations to come into your life. And the secret is to recognize them. So it's being open to everything. And I was instinctively incredibly open. I would listen to that sort of wise one within that sort of wisdom that's in there.
Yeah, for me, it feels when I didn't have the same story as you, but a similar one when I knew I was just going up the wrong alley and I had to do something about it because it just wasn't serving me anymore and I wasn't serving it. And when I did turn around and found it's almost like the universe just went, oh, thank goodness. She's listening, right? We're going to open these doors here and open those doors and close someone's over there. And I honestly felt as if my energy was like it was like on a kind of a beam, and I caught the beam had finally found where it was meant to be heading, directed. And I was on this directing beam, and it was a like you, hard journey, but my goodness me. I just felt this is it. Don't know where it's going to go, but I'm up for it. Is that the kind of feel that you had?
It's absolutely, and there's two things I'd say on that. The first one is the synchronicity.
Yes.
I could feel hours of stories of the synchronicity. And if ever I thought I wasn't looked after in some way, because you don't feel alone when you get on the right path, okay? You just know there's something. And over and over and over again, things would happen. And I would think, oh my goodness, that's unbelievable. And things which can't be put down. to coincidence, you know, meeting someone, you know, on a train because you drop your book or something. And that person, you know, well, Donna Eden is a perfect example. I was at the Mind Body Spirit Festival in London, which in those days before the age of internet is where you went every year. If you
That's
were sitting
right.
listening to the most amazing trailblazers of their time. And there would be big talks going on. And the day before each talk, the speaker would give a 20-minute little chat up, you know, sell on the free stage. Well, of course, what free stage did I end up on? Donna Eden. And the minute she got up to talk, I thought, I had chills. I thought, this woman is talking about what I feel. You know, when I was working with people as body work, I could feel energy, but I didn't know. We didn't have Mr. Google then. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was, but I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to come to her talk. Now that in itself, why did I end up on her stage? But it gets even better than that, Sue, because I then phoned a friend of mine who I did yoga with, and I said, you have got to come to the Mind Body Spirit with me tomorrow to listen to this amazing woman, Donna Eden. She laughed out loud. She'd lived next door to Donna in Ashland, Oregon, okay, before she moved back to the UK. And I met Donna the next day through her, and you recognize when someone's going to change your life.
Yes, you do.
You really do. And sometimes I think, oh my goodness, what if I hadn't gone to that Mind Body Spirit? What if? And you think, well, no matter what if, because you did, you know. And it's that excitement, it's not feeling alone, and the excitement that however tough things are, that's part of your training in this lifetime, if you want. It makes you who you are, and it will come right. And the right people will come in, you know, the right book will fall off the bookshelf and you read it, you know, all these things. And people think, ah, that's coincidence. Nah, it's a sign. And once you start listening to those signs, life gets fun.
Maddie, what do you think it is, this energy, this something greater than us, this that makes the book fall on your head or draws you into the, you know, the carriage in the train, then you meet the person that is going to, has a hugely important contribution to make into your life journey. How do you think this works? Have you ever found out or have a theory?
I wish I did, Sue. I wish I had a really clear answer, but I actually feel it's within us rather than without us, if that makes sense. And I do feel that we understand so little. I understand about the energy that runs through the body, the meridians, the chakras, all of that, but the sort of higher energy there, if you want. And I christen it my wise one within. I think I have the answer to the universe within me. Problem is, you know, I just can't access it all the time, you know? But when you start working with the other energies in your body, suddenly, and I can't even label it, you become aware of there is that greater energy. I believe it is a very loving energy. Sometimes it's tough love because you need it, because you're not listening to what you're here for. I also believe we have free will, that it doesn't dominate us as such. It encourages us to fulfill. And it's interesting that you said before about walking towards your destiny. Carlos Castaneda, in his books, talks about the assemblage point, and Donna sees the assemblage point. And that helps us. It's an energy which she can't explain. And it's like a sort of shining ball of little sparkling lights about the size of a tennis ball in front of your heart area, about a couple of feet in front. And it changes with us. And it's almost like our destiny is inviting us, not pulling us because we're not forced, but inviting us to walk that path. Mm. We would probably, as part of the greatest energy, have agreed to walk before we came in, if that makes sense, into this lifetime. And you know when you're walking your path because everything, as I said, falls into place of synchronicity. It just feels so right. But sometimes this energy gets pulled off to the side by a trauma or something, and we lose our ability to tune in and know where we're going. And, you know, if anyone does feel they've lost that, oh gosh, where am I going? What am I supposed to be doing? I just don't know what to do. Focus on this point in front of you, and just imagine a figure of eight running between your heart, about 2 feet out, and surrounding this little tennis ball of energy. If you want, visualize it how you want it, sparkling and it's very whatever, and just say, you know, may my path become clear, may my path become clear. And if you do that enough, it will become clear and you will feel that connection. But the connection is within you. I really do believe that. And we've just lost the ability, did we ever have it? I don't know, to be within. I think when we come in, we have it.
I think the problem is with our modern age. I've thought about this a lot, actually, because before the Industrial Revolution, we had an awful lot more headspace, most of us were illiterate. We didn't have the busy heady, the busy heads. And we lived in much more in tune with nature. And you know, after the Industrial Revolution, which is just part of our natural progression, obviously, I think we're so crowded in our head. That's a separation. And I think the other big separation is the fact we can't see the stars anymore. And we don't have that sense of awe of something greater than us, an energy that's greater than us, that we can feel connected to. And it enables us to feel humble and surrender to this something greater. And I just wondered where you were with that.
No, I really agree. I would build on that as well. And I would say, as we get older, we know our immortality is around. And that is the biggest gift of all. So all you youngsters who are worried about getting older, there is great joy in age, because you every day does become precious. And you start looking at it from a different angle. And for me, it's nature, because as you say, I've retired from running the European school. I have a little bit more time. And what you said, when your head is so full, you don't have time. You get cut off at the neck, basically, and you can't hear that little voice of wisdom inside. You can't feel the connection to nature. And so many people live in so many children. So I was amazed. I can't remember the number now, but a huge percentage, in my view, have never been into woods or forests, up a mountainside and seen nature. They don't know where their milk comes from. And it's getting, you know, with AI coming in, I'm not against any of this, of course not, but not at the expense of being grounded into the earth. And we are conduits between the earth, the yin energy of earth, and the yang energy of the heaven, of the stars, you say. And we need to keep ourselves clear channels.
Yes.
Really do feel, you don't go, oh yeah, I'm a conduit for, you know, whatever universal power, but it just happens. It's just a feeling. And it's hard to define with our left-sided brain, but we feel it with our right-sided brain, you know, that intuitive feel. We get a feel, and the more we live with that feeling, with that intuitive aspect of our nature, the more it builds, and then you trust it more, and suddenly you really do feel at one, and things come into perspective. You know, suddenly you think, oh, having that handbag's not really that Gucci briefcase. I can remember when I got my Gucci briefcase, I thought I was the bee's knees trotting along in my high heel shoes, you know. And suddenly you can laugh at that and you think, no, the real beauty is, I was yesterday out in the storms and just seeing those wonderful trees swaying and feeling Mother Nature. That is what we're disconnecting with. And that's what I think some of us need to make the conscious effort to reconnect with the earth beneath us and the sky
I think that the issue is this: we live in such a busy world as we're talking about, and a lot of people really are on that hamster wheel. They have to put that, you know, especially with the mortgage rates going up, they've got to put food on the table for their kids. They have to pay the mortgage, otherwise, you know, they're going to lose their home. And that fear, that sort of fear of failure or the fear of not being good enough to do that. It's a really tough call for young people these days who are on the wheel, but they don't want to be there, but they just know that that's it, certainly for now. And then they get so conditioned that a lot of people never step off it. And
No.
then they get to our age and kind of, you know, life gets short.
I do agree. It's very easy for me to sit here and say all these things I'm saying. And it's very hard when you're young and you're starting out. Maybe you've had your first child and you just say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, I don't mean this to sound patronizing, and I really honor all those problems. But one of the small things you can do, because you just go round and round and round and round in your head, oh my God, oh my God. And the fear feeds you, and the fear fears you, and you can't hear anything. If you can take a moment of stillness every day, and it may be 10 minutes before you go to bed or 10 minutes in the morning, sitting, looking out your window on your balcony or in your garden, whatever you have, and just breathing and just the self-talk, which helped me. Initially, I did have that fear of, oh my goodness, I am chucking up the world's best salary and the perks and the BMW, you know. But sometimes thinking of what life is going to be when you jump off the wheel is far worse than what the reality of it will be. And if you decide to stay on the wheel, being grounded, trying to find a degree of stillness in your mind enables you to look at two things: the possibilities that are there that you may miss to make life a bit easier, for money to come in a bit more, maybe give you more confidence to ask for a salary increase, maybe see where you can cut things down. You know, it will find solutions. It, if if you're grounded, the brain, and if one quick tip: if you put your hand on your forehead, the palm of your hand on your forehead, and breathe when you do your moment of stillness, it brings blood to the forebrain, which is the part of the brain which is solution solving. It's like your mummy. I always think it's a mummy brain. Okay, this is your problem. This is what we can do. These are possible solutions. So rather than going round and round, you are looking at solutions. Also, when you're grounded, as I said before, it changes energy in you. You may not even be conscious of this, but if your energy changes, it attracts positive change towards you. And you know, that comes in form of opportunities. So there are things, never feel disempowered. There are things you can do, and they may seem deceptively simple, but once you begin to work with your energy, stepping out of that fear is the first thing. Things can change, you
I agree,
know.
and it is a step at a time. I love what you're saying about, you know, the hand on the forehead, because we automatically do that, don't? Well, I certainly do. When I've got a sort of thinking about something, I always stick
Yes.
my hand on unconsciously, so the body knows that actually that's
Yes.
what you need to do to bring the for you to find the solution is to put your hand on your forehead. It's just so
I
interesting.
know we do it. And there's another thing we do instinctively when you have problems and you're really stressed by them is often we'll put our hands on our temples and we run our
Yes.
fingers through our hairline up over and down behind the ear. What am I going to do? That is a really powerful energy technique. It's going backwards on the energy flow called triple warmer, which is the flow of energy in our body, which is our stress response. It's like your bodyguard between you and the outside world, and it gets into such an overdrive sometimes. Inappropriate responses. In fact, so this I you by going backwards, so come to your temples with your fingertips up over your ears, down behind your ears a few times, and just say, you know, I'm okay. I'm
Yeah.
safe. All is well. It's going to be okay. Whatever language, it doesn't have to be om and bliss. It can be sometimes to say, oh, shut up, Maddie. It's going to be fine. You know, whatever
Yeah.
your inner is going to listen to. And it calms down that triple warmer energy enough for your energies, your inner light, your inner to listen to what you're saying. So
what we're doing is calming the adrenaline rush, aren't we? That's what we're doing.
Triple warmer is very much attached to adrenaline rush.
Yeah, and it's just such a horrible feeling to have adrenaline running high all the time, because you're hypervigilant. You can't rest, you can't sleep. Really? And by these wonderful techniques, you can actually start to learn how to calm your adrenaline, just to start turning it down a notch. So, and then become in control of it rather than it being in control of you.
Absolutely. There's lots of little things you can do that cost you no money at all, are not complicated, and don't take up too much time, because time is what we don't have, you know. And I would encourage you to look at Donna Eden's official YouTube. She does one called the Daily Energy Routine. And that's just 5 minutes. Okay, I haven't got 5 minutes. It's all very well for you to sit there, Maddie King. I haven't got 5 minutes. Well, you do stand and wait for the kettle to boil. So you could tap certain points when you do that, or put your hand on your forehead, you know. So there are moments you're stuck in a traffic jam in central London. You can do things. I used to do that in central London, and people used to give me really strange looks if I was holding my forehead or tapping points, but who cares, you know. My energy was nice and I arrived at in a good mood at my destination. So it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be expensive. It's all simple. It's so simple, the energy medicine basic routines. So if you want, look into
genre. Maddie, I know you help lots of people, but you also work with animals, don't you?
Yes,
that's the love of your life, huh?
The love of my life. I experimented on the humans. It's the other way around. You know? And then I always had animal companions, and I would think, I'd learn something, and I'd just think, I could do that on my dog or the horse or the cat or something, you know. And I did, and it works. And it works far better when you work with animals, because they have no chatter in mind getting in the way. They, especially horses, I find have the most amazing energy that connects very quickly. It's very easy to do. So anyone, I've written 3 little books. One is energy medicine for your dog, one for your cat, one for your horse. And it's all really simple, and it's simple enough that children can do it, you know, and it's so safe and it's organic. Working with your energy, I share nothing that does any harm. The worst working with your energy will do is nothing. And you also don't have to get it right. And I discovered, Sue, this very, very early on, because I'd go across to America in the early days to learn from Donna Eden. There was no book, there was no handout, nothing. And I'd trot back to London, practice on my clients, then go back and realize I'd done totally the wrong points on my clients. Oh my goodness, I did that wrong. She said, did they get better? I said, yes, but no. She said, there's no but, it's the intention. So I would encourage you, if you think, I don't know the points, or I'm not in the, don't worry. Just simple touch, maybe just an inch off the body of your animal or your or your friend or family, you know, you'll connect with the energy. You don't have to know the names of the points. You don't even have to know where the meridians are. Just if you develop your sensitive touch, you will move the energy in your animal. And you work from love and intention. Talk to the energy. You know, I'm a huge believer in words carry a vibration that connects, and they connect very much to animals. Okay, doesn't matter what language you talk, but it's a vibration behind the words. And there was a Japanese scientist, Emoto, who wrote a book on this, which is fascinating. For example, all my animal bowls are on these little mats which say love and gratitude and health, you know, because they have those words have a vibration. Yes. That actually are absorbed by the water, and then my animals drink it. Well, if you hold your animal, they're a huge percentage water. And just when you stroke your cat the next time, you just say love, gratitude, health, no more fur balls. Whatever. You say positive things whilst you're stroking, your cat unconsciously picks up on the vibration, the intention behind those words. So it can, that's got powerful juju in it. You know, it's so simple. And even if you don't look at a book or you don't Google anything, just do that. Just start talking to your animals whilst you're stroking them and bring your attention as you're stroking them. What are you feeling? Are you feeling any areas of warmth or coolness? Or begin to identify different feelings. You'll feel differently on the spine of an animal as opposed to the extremities. And make up your own mind. Don't believe what everyone writes in books or tells you. Make up your own mind. And it's a two-way street working with animals. I'm going to stop now, Sue, because otherwise I go on and on about
So
it.
I think, and also what's coming to me is working like that with your plants. You know, it's the same, it's the same energy, is just being talking to your plants. I mean, people used to call Prince Charles insane, but he was absolutely right. It is about just sharing your energy, your love, because this is where I believe, you know, love, you know, makes the world go round. And I do think it's the glue of the universe. So share it with all living things.
Exactly. And in fact, there were experiments done. I think it was Emoto that did experiments, and he took identical plants. Okay. Some of these plants were exposed to different things. Okay. But they all started life the same, and some were exposed to love and gratitude and soft Mozart music. Others were exposed to sort of hate and anger, just the words, and heavy metal music or something very jagged. And well, you know what I'm going to say. The ones that were exposed to the loving words and the gentle music, they grew much healthier
Yeah.
than them. You know, so there is research out there, as
Yeah,
you
it's
know.
fascinating because I look at my plants as friends, not as plants. And in the morning I go in and say, "Morning." And I can feel them. I can actually feel them responding. I don't know if it's my imagination, and I don't care if it is or not. I can just feel the energy, and they hold that loving energy in the room. And my cat's the same. You know, she and I just have a very loving bond together. And my hens, I have three hens, and I do the same with them. And I know you do that with your dogs, don't you?
I do that with my dogs. I also am a huge tree hugger.
Yes.
I walk my in fact my next book's going to be called The Hedgerow Chronicles, because I find such healing in nature, such healing in the hedgerows. So if you have grief or you're real concerned about the world today and your financial, take yourself out to the woods. And at first you may feel stupid, you know, you think this is ridiculous, but just sit with your back against a tree and just feel the energy come up. Or sit down and stick your fingers in the earth so you're well and truly connected. And the earth and the trees have the ability, you can discharge into the earth all that fear and worry, and then they have the ability to bring up an energy which is very yin in nature, very nurturing, very healing, very calming. And okay, you may not feel it at first. You may think, well, I don't feel anything on that. I stuck my fingers in the earth and nothing happened. Something will have happened. Something will have awakened in an energetic sense, and sooner or later energetic changes cause cellular changes. So no, your brain, which is, you know, on that fast treadmill, may not have the space to register the change, but keep doing it because you will begin to notice changes, just by getting out in nature.
Maddie, that's the perfect place to end this conversation. Thank you so much. I just feel that I'm going to walk around today with my hand slapped on top of my forehead.
Say all is well, all is well.
All is well, all is well.
I'm safe, I'm
Yeah, and that's a really good way to end
Yeah.
this thing. Just, you know,
And
I'm safe. I'm safe.
yeah.
Whatever, I'm
And
safe.
as you do it, smile and laugh. That's the secret ingredient.
Well, I think laughter is the only thing we can do these days in particular, because it is a mad world out there.
Is indeed.
Okay, thank you so much, Maddie. Okay, so that was the wonderful and inspiring and gorgeous Maddie King, author of a lot of self-help books on natural health care for you and, most important, your animal companions. And you can find out more about Maddie through her website, madisonking.com. That's M-A-D-I-S-O-N, madisonking.com. So my October guest is Liz Ware, whose passion is introducing silent spaces into public parks, gardens, and green spaces where anyone can go to reflect silently in nature. She started Silent Space in 2016, initially as a non-for-profit project, which has now evolved into full charitable status, supported by major gardening societies and leading garden experts. So see you on the 1st of October with Liz Ware, talking about the preciousness of creating silent spaces in nature. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.